Well, here, I'm going to start off with a couple questions here. The first one's for the kids. So, kids, why do we celebrate Christmas? You guys can shout it out. For Jesus' birth, but that's not what he said on the truck right over here. But that's awesome, isn't it? It's for Jesus' birth. So some of you adults, you guys can just yell this out if you feel so bold and inclined to do it. What is it about Christ that makes you excited? What has he done for you? What's Christ done for you? What's that? Eternal life? What's Christ done in your hearts? He washes our sins away. Good job. And that's the kids jumping in there. That's great. Adults?
Died on the cross.
He died on the cross. What else?
He gives you joy.
He gives you joy. What else?
Purpose and hope.
Purpose and hope. What else?
Peace.
You guys are preaching the sermon for me, and you guests are like, this is great. This is the best sermon I've heard. What else?
Love.
Listen, if you know what Christ has done in your life, it gives you reason to celebrate on Christmas. And it gives you reason to celebrate beyond, guys, when the wrapping paper gets thrown away, when the gifts become old. It's something that you're able to celebrate year-round. This day, this Christmas, is one of the greatest, most life-altering, world-altering, eternity-altering, heart-altering, historical facts. It's the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, on Sunday mornings, we've been studying through the prodigal son story in Luke chapter 15. Many of y'all are familiar with it, but we come to verse 20, and we're going to focus on verse 20 as a little bit of a Christmas devotion tonight, because it's a beautiful picture of Christmas. The story of the prodigal son has often been called the greatest short story ever told. It's a parable, a short story or a picture that's told to help us understand the extravagant, excessive, overflowing love and forgiveness of God. And if you haven't been here for our studies through Luke chapter 15, I'll give you the short story just to kind of ramp up to our verse for tonight. A father has two sons, and the younger of the two sons basically comes to his dad and says, Dad, you might as well be dead. I'm ready when you are. Go ahead and give me the money, give me the inheritance. And the father does, gives him the money, gives him the inheritance, and the son is gone. It says just a few days later, he gathers all of his things and he takes off. And what he did with that money, he spent it on wild living and on prostitutes. And when his money was gone, his friends were gone, he was empty and alone, and nobody would give him anything to eat, and it's at that moment that something snaps, and he wises up, and he returns to his father. And that's where we pick up in verse 20 tonight. It says that, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck, and kissed him. As I was praying and preparing for tonight, my conviction was that some of us this Christmas, we need to experience that. We need to experience the Heavenly Father coming to us and wrapping his arms around us, falling upon us, and kissing us. Now think on that picture for a moment. It probably doesn't take you long to get uncomfortable, does it? But it's real. And this is the picture that Jesus chose to give to us of the love of the Father. And I'm going to pause right now and just pray. And I want to especially pray for maybe because there is one person in here that's desperate to know the love of God tonight. And we're going to stop and pray. Lord Jesus, I would pray now as we get into your word, Lord, as we remember the story, as we celebrate Christmas. Lord Jesus, I pray that your presence would draw near tonight, Lord. And if there's just one person here, Lord, that's desperate, that's coming in here tonight saying, this is more than just about Christmas for me. I desperately need to know God's presence in my life. I need to know his love. I need to be reassured of his forgiveness again. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would draw close. Lord, that you would wrap the arms of your spirit around them, Lord, and that they would know your compassion. And just like this, Father, you see them tonight. You saw them while they were afar off. You saw them walk in. And you see him now. You see us, Lord Jesus. We rejoice in you. We rejoice in this season, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Luke chapter 15, verse 20, the first thing we read was that while the son was still far off, the father saw him. He saw him. a long ways off. And maybe tonight, maybe there's some of us who feel far away from God. And you need to know that however far away from God you are tonight, however far away from God you feel, he sees you. He sees your past, he sees your present, he sees your future, but most of all, he sees you. And it says in verse 20 that he had compassion. When he saw the kid from afar, his son, his boy, who had broken his heart, ran off with his inheritance and spent it on worthless things. He sees him from afar and he has compassion on him. He saw the brokenness, he saw the emptiness, he saw the rebellion, and he has compassion on him. And it says that he ran. He ran. Now, something to understand about the Middle East culture during this time is that Middle Eastern men did not run to their sons. It was considered undignified to do that. They withheld emotion, kept it inside, and they would sit there dignified and wait for the son to come to him. But this man, having a long robe, must have had to roll up his robe almost like a skirt and show off his old man legs. And he ran down the way, wherever it was that the son was walking from. He ran to him. He ran to him. Now, culture saw this as undignified, but in heaven's eyes, it's the majesty of divine love. Are you seeing the Christmas story yet in this verse? Thank you. Amen. You see the Christmas story in this because God is a God who runs to those that are lost, to his kids. And it says that as he ran to him, he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And this is where it gets uncomfortable, right? To imagine dads, you doing this to your sons or your dad doing. He runs and he wraps himself around him. He's probably weeping in this time. And he falls on his son and begins kissing his neck, scripture says. Now remember, this is a rebellious son, ran off with his dad's money, spent it all on wild living. And when the father finally sees him again, this is how he responds. What this is the great condescension. You know what that word means, right? Some of us have humor that it always tears other people down, right? Condescending. Well, what we're talking about here is when God condescended himself. God condescended himself from the glory of heaven to fall on humanity so that he could lift us up into relationship with him. And that's the Christmas story. That's what we hear about here. Remember the angels announcing to the shepherds in the field, Luke chapter 2, verse 14. They said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. On earth, peace and goodwill. How? In Christ who came here. Now, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, we hear a bit of the Christmas story here. If you can follow along with me, picture it with me tonight. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public spectacle, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her womb is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. You see the lack of dignity. You see the unmarried mother. You see an undignified birth. You see something that culture would have looked down on, but it was actually a sign from heaven because the child came from the Holy Spirit. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. On earth, peace and goodwill. I was reading a book about a week ago with one of my sons, and the book was about the life story of Abraham Lincoln. And we get to the end of the book, and there's this portrait of Abraham Lincoln at the back of the book. And my son says to me, he says, Dad, I don't think he's ugly, but his face is. And I think what he was trying to say was, I like the guy, but he's not much to look at, right? And you know what made me think about this story of the prodigal son? The father loved his son, but the sin, the rebellion was ugly. It makes me think about the world that we live in. I think all of us could agree this past year, many of us have seen atrocities in this world like we've never witnessed before. Certainly, perhaps, somewhat a repeat of history, but we've seen stuff this year that we don't ever want to see again. It's ugly, and you know what? God looks on the ugliness of this world. He looks on the rebellion, even those that would directly rebel against him and reject him, and he looks down on this world, and he sees all of the ugliness all at once of generation after generation after generation. And in fact, the Bible says that all of us have sinned. We've all missed the mark. Now, I think about Abraham Lincoln. I think about my son. You know, he's not much to look at. Abraham Lincoln, that is. And it makes me think about marriage. You know, marriage taught me that I'm not much to look at either. You know, no matter how good looking you think you are before you get married, when somebody sees you in your worst moments, you come to realize I'm not always that much to look at. You know, and you get married and you think you married this just like sweet thing, 100% of the time, the sweet thing. And you get married and you start to figure out, man, she makes me an irritable person. In all reality, she sees my irritableness. She sees my lack of dignity. She sees me at my worst moments, and it reminds me, not just a physical thing, but a spiritual thing, I'm not always that much to look at. But it's sweet. She loves me, and in the same way God looks down on this world, and he loves, and he longs to run to those that would turn to him. Now, Abraham Lincoln was asked, after years of brutal, bloody civil war, he was asked the question, how are you going to punish the southern states when the states are united again? He said, I will treat them as if they had never been away. You know, that's the response of this father to the son, is that he says, I'm going to treat him as if he'd never been away. In John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist proclaims when he sees Jesus, he says, behold, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. And what else did we read in verse 20 where it says that the father ran and he had compassion and he saw him and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. The word literally means he kissed him much. Like he kissed him over and over. He kept kissing his son. It's an expression of overflowing, unending, undying, unwavering, unbeatable love. Undefeatable love that he has for his son. Even a son that would jerk him around the way that his son did. And in the same way, God touched humanity in the most tender way with his love through his son. Sent to save. And born as a baby. Ephesians 2:13 says, in Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ, for he himself is our peace. Remember what the angel said, on earth, peace. Where's the peace? On earth, peace is in him. It's in him. And it's through the blood of Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice on the cross for the lost. Jeremiah, a prophet of the Old Testament, foretold of this forgiveness that was coming in chapter 31, verse 34. He said, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now, I hope that grabs your attention, that he would look on this world and he would see the ugliness of it, but that in complete love he would give himself for this world in such a way that he would say, I'm going to make a way so that it would be like they'd never sinned. And that was the mission of Jesus Christ. He came to save from sin. He would look on this world and say, I'm going to make a way so that it would be like they'd never sinned. Because he would go to the cross, God would make the choice to send his son to die on the cross so that it would be like I had never sinned or you had never sinned. Whoever would put their faith in him, it would be as if it was never there. And the story of Christmas that I want to bring to you tonight is forgiveness. Do you know what it's like to need it? Do you know what it's like to be in your lowest moment and think, how could anybody even look at me right now? How could my wife even look at me, right? And do you know what it's like to be in a moment like that? The Bible says that Jesus fulfilled that because of him, their sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. That through faith in Jesus Christ, God would say, I cast their sins into a sea of forgetfulness. I'm making the choice, God would say, to never even remember them again. And that's the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest gift that sometimes goes unwrapped, that Jesus would offer that kind of forgiveness to us. You know, as we close, just a couple questions, a couple challenges before we leave and we celebrate Christmas with our families and whatever you have planned. Number one is there somebody that you need to forgive this Christmas? You know, sometimes we think that, oh, I'm not going to forgive. You know, they deserve it, or they're so wrong. I just want them to realize. We need to remember sometimes that it's not just them that we hurt when we choose not to forgive. It's us that we hurt too. And it does something to our hearts. It's like a weed in our hearts. C.S. Lewis said, everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until he has something to forgive. Kind of true, isn't it? Forgiveness sounds great until I... So this Christmas, guys, as y'all gather with your families, is there somebody that you need to forgive? Is there somebody that you need to just let... You know, and sometimes I'm so tempted to say, oh, I forgive that person, but I still have resentment in my heart towards that person. That's not the forgiveness of God. God said that it'll be as if they'd never sinned. Their iniquities will be no more. That's the forgiveness that Jesus Christ brought to this earth. That's the peace he brought to this earth. The second question that I would give to you tonight, have you received the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ? Have you received the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ? Many people will oftentimes say, oh, I don't need Jesus. I believe God is a forgiving God. And I say, exactly. He's a forgiving God so much so that he actually sent his son to forgive you. Have you received the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ? It's what Christmas is about. You can come home tonight. I think the invitation of the story of the prodigal son is you can come home. Come home right now. You can come home tonight. You say, I got to get things together. I got to get things in order, get things figured. No, he says, you can come to me. I'll help you take care of those things, but you can come home to me right now. And do you remember the eagerness of the father? As soon as he saw him, even far off, the father started running towards him, had compassion on him already. The son hadn't said a word yet. A sorry hadn't been uttered yet from his mouth, and the father runs to him. And you can come home tonight. Come home to forgiveness. Come home to peace with God. God is a forgiving God, so much so he wants you to know forgiveness through his son, Jesus Christ. And he makes that simple, and before we're done tonight, I'll give you the chance to pray. He makes it simple for you to come before him and say, Lord, would you forgive me? I've run from you. I've gone a different direction. But you're speaking to me tonight. Your word, it's saying something. The birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the love and the forgiveness of Christ, it's saying something to me tonight. And tonight I want to come to you and ask for forgiveness. There may just be one person in here tonight that comes in with that need to know his love and to know his forgiveness. And he says, I offer it freely through faith. You know, some of you may have been fed up. You've swallowed enough of religiosity and hypocrisy and judgmentalism. Guys, I'm not inviting you to come and join and become members of a church. If you're in need of forgiveness tonight, I'm inviting you to come to the throne of God. And he says that you'll find grace there. It's a throne of grace. And it's not coming to a church. It's not coming to me. It's coming before God, and it's about working this out with him. The last question that I would ask for you guys tonight before we go into our Christmas celebrations and everything is, did you need to be reminded of the forgiveness of God tonight? I mean, if you're a believer here tonight, but maybe you've gone through a hard season and the devil has heaped condemnation on you. You've suffered defeat. You've gone through struggles, discouragements, anxieties, and the devil is just heaping this accusation on you and pointing a finger at you. This story reminds us, the Christmas story and the prodigal story reminds you that your God is a forgiving God. And Jesus Christ accomplished it for you. He accomplished it all on the cross already for you. And you come back to him and you're reminded. He comes to you. He runs to you to embrace you. That his love would overflow onto you. That's picture of the Son. Imagine the emotion of the moment as the Father comes to the Son and embraces him and falls on his neck and kisses him. You can leave that condemnation, that guilt behind. There's freedom in Jesus Christ. And I believe the message he has for us tonight, church, is simple. It's our Father. Our Father is a forgiving God, and he loves you. And he runs to you even tonight. He runs to you. Let's close in prayer. And as we do that, as we close in prayer, if you're here tonight and you've never received the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ, if you're ready to do that, if the Lord is speaking to you tonight, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you hear him, don't harden your heart. If he's speaking to you, you know he's running to you. He's talking to you. And you can simply respond to him tonight. Just pray with me if that's you tonight. Jesus, we thank you for your forgiveness. And we come and ask for it tonight. And on this Christmas, 2015, Jesus, I want to ask you into my heart to forgive me of going my own way. And I want to follow you. And Lord Jesus, we know that as we pray that prayer, as anyone prays that prayer by faith and looks upon you, you give them that assurance. You told the thief on the cross, it didn't matter what his past was. You said, assuredly, I tell you today, you'll be with me in paradise. And there's an assurance that comes with coming before you and calling upon your grace. Jesus, as we close this time in worship, the musicians come back up. We're going to worship you tonight, Jesus, because you were born and you lived, God with us, to save us and to bring hope into this world. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Lord, as we light candles tonight, we're reminded that you came and you said that you're the light of the world. And a light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not overcome it. And you overcame all on the cross, and Jesus, you overcome all in our lives, Lord. And all you call for is that we would throw ourselves on you. And Jesus, we thank you for that tonight. For those that have had condemnation heaped up on their shoulders, judgmentalism or religiosity, they've swallowed enough, they can't handle any more of it. Lord Jesus, you bring freedom through your grace. You come beside them and you say, I paid the price already. I paid the price for that. And Father, as we sing and we see these candles lit all around the gym, Lord, I pray that you would draw near to our hearts, that you would come near to us now and remind us of the way that you come to us, the way that you run to us, and the way that you wrap your love around us in forgiveness, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the way that you receive us, Lord, and we praise you tonight. We praise you this Christmas, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.